January 2nd, education is freedom. What is the fruit of these teachings? Only the most beautiful and proper harvest of the truly educated. Tranquility, fearlessness, and freedom. We should not trust the masses who say, only the free can be educated, but rather the lovers of wisdom who say that only the educated are free. Epictetus Discourses. Why did you pick up this book? Why pick up any book? Not to seem smarter, not to pass time on the plane, not to hear what you want to hear. There are plenty of easier choices than reading. No, you picked up this book because you are learning how to live, because you want to be freer, fearless, and achieve a state of peace. Education, reading and meditating on the wisdom of great minds, is not to be done for its own sake. It has a purpose. Remember that imperative on the days you start to feel distracted, when watching television or having a snack seems like a better use of your time than reading or studying philosophy. Knowledge, self-knowledge, is freedom. Imagine a mystical limpet. Why are so many people prepared in advance to maintain that? Whatever else God may be, he is not the concrete, living, willing, and acting God of Christian theology. I think the reason is as follows. Let us suppose a mystical limpet. A sage among limpets who, wrapped in vision, catches a glimpse of what man is like. In reporting it to his disciples, who have some vision themselves, though less than he will have to use many negatives. He will have to tell them that man has no shell, is not attached to a rock, is not surrounded by water, and his disciples, having a little vision of their own to help them, do get some idea of man. But then there comes erudite limpets. Limpets who write histories of philosophy and give lectures on comparative religion and who have never had any vision of their own. What they get out of the prophetic limpet's words is simply and solely the negatives. From these, uncorrected by any positive insight, they build up a picture of man as a sort of amorphous jelly. He has no shell, existing nowhere in particular. He has no attached rock, and never taking nourishment. There is no water to drift in towards him. And having a traditional reverence for man, they conclude that to be a famished jelly in a dimensionless void is the supreme mode of existence, and reject as crude materialistic superstition any doctrine which would attribute to man a definite shape, a structure, and organs. From Miracles. January 1914, Lewis and childhood Belfast friend Arthur Greaves begin what would be a lifelong correspondence. Relax in his healing presence. As you spend time with him, your thoughts tend to jump ahead to today's plans and problems. Bring your mind back to him for refreshment and renewal. Let the light of his presence soak into you as you focus your thoughts on him. Thus he equips you to face whatever the day brings. This sacrifice of time pleases him and strengthens you. Do not skimp on his time with you. Resist the clamor of tasks waiting to be done. You have chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from you. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Psalm 105:4. He had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord said, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Luke 10:39 through 42.